Hello there, and welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. For today's program, I wanted to let you know what we're going to do. Today is Good Friday, and I want to send along Good Friday blessings to you and yours. This week on the program, I had debated as to what I'm going to do, what the best course of action is, and what I thought would be a great thing was to read you the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last week on Palm Sunday on my weekly program, The Gary Zimak Show, I did just that. I read the Passion of our Lord, and I think today would be a good day to do that again. So right now, as I record this, I'm prepared to continue my meditations, to go back and sit and really meditate on what our Lord went through for me personally. So as a result, I'm going to replay last Sunday's broadcast of The Gary Zimak Show for you. And I wish you not only Good Friday blessings, but also a blessed and holy Easter. It's a big day on Sunday. And then Monday, I am going to be taking the day off to celebrate the resurrection. I will be back with you on Tuesday, God willing. So if you need anything, feel free to contact me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. But in the meantime, sit back and really take in this replay of The Gary Zimak Show and take in what Jesus went through for you. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next week. Hello there, and welcome to The Gary Zimak Show. I'm your host, Gary Zimak, and it's great to be back with you here once again on the program. Today we're going to look at the gospel for Palm Sunday, technically more accurately entitled Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion. You know, I prayed about this because we got a 30-minute show. We've got a lot of some lengthy readings, and I toyed with the idea of not reading the entire Passion and just talking about it, maybe doing the other readings. But I want to read the Passion today. So I'm going to read the Passion, and I would ask you this. Let's let the Holy Spirit speak to us through this reading. If we have time, we'll talk more, a little bit about it once I'm finished. But we'll start the program off, we'll pray to Jesus, and then we will read the Passion. We'll ask the Holy Spirit to speak through us. And if anything strikes you, and I'm going to read the version of it, the narrative that is read at Mass, with all the parts included. I'm just going to do all the parts. But let's just let the Holy Spirit speak to us through this. And again, I might sum up a little bit, but I think it's too powerful of a gospel to not read on the program. You know, I'm just not going to plow through it so that it's just, you might miss the effectiveness. And I'm also not going to stop during it. I just want to read it and ask the Spirit to work through me so that He can speak to us, okay? So again, welcome to the show. So glad to have you with me. We are still in Lent. During this week, Holy Week, we prepare. We make our final preparations for Easter. And then we'll be back again with the program focusing on Easter Sunday's readings. But I pray that your Lent is going well. And know that I'm praying for you every day. And it's not over yet. Lent is not over. So my hope is today that through this Passion, this reading of the Passion of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit inspires you. If there's any last minute things that you need to work on during Lent, and me too, you know, I'm hoping He talks to me too, and I know He will, that we make use of the time. That's my goal. So why don't we pray now? Let's talk to Jesus, and then we'll read the Passion. Please join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, it is an honor to be able to have this discussion with you. Lord, in a few minutes, we're going to read your Passion. And Lord, we've been hearing the details of your death, your suffering, your death on the cross for a long time now. And unfortunately, for many of us, we've become a little desensitized to what really went on. I pray, Lord, that through the reading of this Passion and the power of your Holy Spirit, we're going to be increasingly aware of your love for us, and also aware of any changes that we need to make in our lives. So, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for all the suffering that you endured for our sake. Please help us as we read this, as we listen to these words, to be awakened and to have a greater desire to respond to your love with love of our own. Jesus, we ask this in your mighty name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I'm ready to get started. Again, this is the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. Thank you for so much for tuning in, for listening to the program. We're going to get right to it. Now, we're going to read this week the Passion from Palm Sundays. It's the Gospel from Palm Sunday. The Palm Sunday Mass begins with another Gospel passage, which we are not going to read, but essentially it has to do with Jesus being welcomed into Jerusalem. When he first got there, he was welcomed. People were laying palm branches at his feet. They were shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, they were praising him. He was getting a lot of positive recognition. He was welcomed. And a few days later, we're going to read what happened to him. Isn't it amazing how fleeting fame is? But I think the important thing for us to understand, really to get out of all of this, is just how much he loves us. Jesus was completely in control. Jesus could have ended any of this suffering at any minute, but he didn't. Because this is why he came and was born into this world, and that was to die for us. And with that in mind, let's read the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time. So the chief priests and the scribes were seeking a way to arrest Jesus by treachery and put him to death. They said, not during the festival, for fear that there may be a riot among the people. When he was in Bethany, reclining at table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, costly genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on his head. There were some who were indignant. Why has there been this waste of perfumed oil? It could have been sold for more than 300 days' wages, and the money given to the poor. They were infuriated with her. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you. And whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard him, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they reclined at table and were eating, Jesus said, Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They began to be distressed and say to him one by one, Surely it is not I. He said to them, One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish. For the Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them and said, Take it. This is my body. Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, This is the blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Then after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, All of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be dispersed. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be. Then Jesus said to him, Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he vehemently replied, Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, Sit here while I pray. He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then he said to them, My soul is sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and keep watch. He advanced a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass by him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me. But not what I will, but what you will. When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now, then while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying, The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely. He came immediately, and he went over to him and said, Rabbi. And he kissed him. At this they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them in reply, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled. And they all left him and fled. Now a young man followed him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, But he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard and was seated with the guards, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" Even so, their testimony did not agree. The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying, "Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?" But he was silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Then Jesus answered, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." At that, the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him. And they struck him, and they said to him, "Prophesy." And the guards greeted him with blows. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said, "You too were with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." Once again he denied it. A little later, the bystanders said to Peter once more, "Surely you are one of them, for you too are a Galilean." He began to curse and to swear, "I do not know this man about whom you were talking." And immediately a cock crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. He broke down and he wept. As soon as morning came, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, they led him away, and they handed him over to Pilate. Jesus questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said to him in reply, "You say so." The chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him, "Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of?" Jesus gave him no further answer, so Pilate was then amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man named Barabbas was then in prison along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply, "Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted again, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted the louder, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple, and weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with, "Hail, King of the Jews," and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him among themselves and said, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said, "Look, he is calling Elijah." One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down." Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of the younger James and of Joseph and Salome. These women had followed him when he was in Galilee and they ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, since it was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council, who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched where he was laid. The Gospel of the Lord. You know, I'm going to pretty much leave it there. But I trust that something in that narrative touched you. As I was reading it, it's a shocking, disturbing account. When you think about what Jesus did for those he interacted with and how he healed the sick, even raised the dead, associated with the outcast. I mean, nothing about the way he acted deserved the treatment that he got. And it's just one of those mind-boggling things. We're astounded how he could have been treated so poorly. And you know, that's a good idea, to recognize what happened to him. But I'm going to tell you something. It's really easy to put the blame on the religious leaders, on the people that nailed him to the cross, on the people who were spitting on him and taunting him. It's easy to put the blame on everybody else. But the blame is with you and with me. We're the reason he was on that cross. And as you look at this account of the Passion, it's a pretty depressing story, isn't it? And it ends with Jesus dead and lying in a tomb. But we all know that's not the end of the story. And next week when I'm with you, the story's going to get a whole lot better. There's a happy ending. But the point is, and this is something for all of us to think about this week, we're the ones that put him on the cross. And unless we start to address the problem areas in each of our lives, we're still causing him additional pain. Now's the time for us to make some changes. Now's the time for us to make some changes. Are we one of the people who deserted Jesus? We just heard about them. Are we one of them that nailed him to the cross? We're all guilty of something. So I'm going to pray for you this week. Please pray for me so that we can really make some changes. He went through this because he loves us. Because of what he did, the gates of heaven are now open for you and me. He didn't deserve to be on that cross. We did. But he did it because he loves us. What can we do for him this week? Let's think about that, okay? I want to thank you for joining me on the program today. If you have any comments, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. It's a bit of a different feel today, but I just feel that that's what I was supposed to do. If you have any want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. But God willing, I plan to be back with you here next week on the Gary Zimak Show. And let's do some thinking this week, okay? And let's ask the Holy Spirit to really move us and make some changes. God bless you. I look forward to being with you next time. Bye-bye.